Good Grandam, tell us, is our father dead?
No, boy.
Why do you weep so often, beat your breast and cry, oh, Clarence, my unhappy son?
Why do you look on us and shake your head and call us orphans, wretches, castaways, if that our noble father were alive?
My pretty cousins, you mistake me both. I do lament the sickness of the king, as loath to lose him, not your father's death. Yet were lost sorrow to wail one that's lost.
Then you conclude, my grandam, he is dead. The king, mine uncle, is to blame for it. God will revenge it, whom I will importune with earnest prayers, all to that effect.
And so will I.
Peace, children, peace. The king doth love you well. Incapable and shallow innocence. You cannot guess who caused your father's death.
Grandam, we can. My good uncle Gloucester told me the king, provoked to it by the queen, devised impeachments to imprison him. And when my uncle told me so, he wept and pitied me and kindly kissed my cheek, bade me rely on him as on my father. And he would love me dearly as a child.
Ah, that deceit should steal such gentle shape, and with a virtuous visor hide device. He is my son, I, and therein my shame. Yet from my dugs he drew not this deceit.
Think you my uncle to dissemble, grandam?
Aye, boy.
I cannot think it.
Oh, no.
Hark, what noise is this?
Ah, who shall hinder me to wail and weep, to chide my fortune and torment myself? I'll join with black despair against my soul and to myself become an enemy.
What means this scene of rude impatience?
To mark an act of tragic violence. Edward, my lord, thy son, our king, is dead. Why grow the branches when the root is gone? Why wither not the leaves that want their sap? If you will live, lament. If die, be brief, that our swift-winged souls may catch the king's, or, like obedient subjects, follow him to his new kingdom of ne'er-changing night. Ah, so much interest have I in thy sorrow, as I had title in my noble husband's. I have bewept a worthy husband's death, and lived with looking on his images. But now two mirrors of his princely semblance are cracked in pieces by a malignant death. And I for comfort have but one false glass that grieves me when I see my shame in him. Thou art a widow, yet thou art a mother. And hast the comfort of thy children left? But death has snatched my husband from mine arms and plucked two crutches from my feeble hands. Clarence and Edward. Oh, what cause have I, thine being but the moiety of my moan, to overgo thy woes and drown thy cries?
Our aunt, you wept not for our father's death. How can we aid you with our kindred tears?
Our fatherless distress was left unmoaned. Your widow dollar likewise be unwept.
Give me no help in lamentation. I am not barren to bring forth complaints. All springs reduce their currents to mine eyes, that I, being governed by the watery moon, may send forth plenteous tears to drown the world. Ah, for my husband, for my dear Lord Edward.
Ah, for our father, for our dear Lord Clarence.
Alas, for both mine, Edward and Clarence.
What stay had I but Edward, and he's gone.
What stay had we but Clarence, and he's gone.
What stay had I but they, and they are gone.
Was never widow had so dear a loss.
Were never orphans had so dear a loss.
Was never mother had so dear a loss.
Alas, I am the mother of these griefs. Their woes are parceled, mine as general. She for an Edward weeps, and so do I. I for a Clarence weep, so doth not she. These babes for Clarence weep, and so do I. I for an Edward weep, so do not they.
You three on me, threefold distressed. Pour all your tears. I am your sorrow's nurse, and I will pamper it with lamentation.
Comfort, dear mother. God is much displeased that you take with unthankfulness his doing. In common worldly things, 'tis called ungrateful, with dull unwillingness to repay a debt which with a bounteous hand was kindly lent. Much more to be thus opposite with heaven, for it requires the royal debt it lent you.
Madam, bethink you, like a careful mother, of the young prince, your son. Send straight for him. Let him be crowned. In him your comfort lives. Drown desperate sorrow in dead Edward's grave, and plant your joys in living Edward's throne.
Sister, have comfort. All of us have cause to wail the dimming of our shining star, but none can help our harms by wailing them. Madam, my mother, I do cry you mercy. I did not see your grace. Humbly on my knee, I crave your blessing.
God bless thee, and put meekness in thy breast, love, charity, obedience, and true duty.
Amen. And make me die a good old man. That is the butt end of a mother's blessing. I marveled at her grace to leave it out.
You cloudy princes and heart-sorrowing peers that bear this heavy mutual load of moan, now cheer each other in each other's love. Though we have spent our harvest of this king, we are to reap the harvest of his son. The broken rancor of your high-swollen hearts, but lately splintered, knit, and joined together, must gently be preserved, cherished, and kept. Me seemeth good that with some little train, forthwith from Ludlow the young prince be fetched hither to London, to be crowned our king.
Why with some little train, my lord of Buckingham?
Marry, my lord, lest by a multitude the new healed wound of malice should break out, which would be so much the more dangerous by how much the estate is green and yet ungoverned. Where every horse bears his commanding rein, and may direct his course as please himself, as well the fear of harm as harm apparent, in my opinion, ought to be prevented.
I hope the king made peace with all of us, and that compact is firm and true in me.
And so in me. And so I think in all. And since it is but green, it should be put to no apparent likelihood of breach, which haply by much company might be urged. Therefore I say with noble Buckingham that it is meet so few should fetch the prince.
And so say I.
Then be it so. And go we to determine who they shall be that straight shall post to Ludlow. Madam, and you, my sister, will you go to give your censures in this business?
With all our hearts.
My lord, whoever journeys to the prince, for God's sake, let not us two stay at home. For, by the way, our sought occasion has index to the story we late talked of, to part the queen's proud kindred from the prince.
My other self, my counsel's consistory, my oracle, my prophet, my dear cousin, I, as a child, will go by thy direction toward Ludlow, then, for we'll not stay behind.